I've been drinking a lot of caffeine as of late, mainly because I get up every day at 1:55 a.m.
It's so sad.
Every day. No fail there. And it's a little bit like having a child for the first time. Not me, but just waking up because of body pains. So I need caffeine. I wish that the cup of coffee that I'm drinking right now was Cometeer, but it's not. Cometeer is a perfect cup of coffee. Anybody that says otherwise, because I'm friends with some of those people, because they can say they can taste the microscopic nuanced differences, they're full of shit. Let me just tell you that. It's an award-winning small batch coffee from roasters like George Howell, Onyx, Coffee Lab, Clatch Coffee, Intelligentsia, and now Seth Rogen and Houseplant. Well, maybe in the near future, you'll be able to mix caffeine with THC with Houseplant, but you can probably smoke a joint and drink the cup of coffee. I think that's what's implied by the Houseplant Cometeer collaboration. And in addition to that, you can get $20 off your first order by going to cometeer.com/Chang. That's cometeer.com/Chang. Also, check us out for Dinner Time Live, Netflix, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out Chris Ying and his self-proclaimed voice of the internet. He really is shaking in his head because he just doesn't like that. And you know, as a little homework assignment, you know, he needs to watch Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. Who does?
You know.
I did. You know.
You know.
Wait, you know. Why?
Something that happens over lunch. So watch Dinner Time Live, everybody. Jerry Maguire. And all of our episodes with Chrissy Teigen, Chrissy and Dave Dine Out, are streaming on Hulu. So we just had JB Smoove and Sarah Silverman. And we don't know who our guest is the following week quite yet.
But it'll be good.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/... You know what? Just go into the search engine and put in Majordomo Media. It's much easier than saying /, semicolon, whatever. Can I just read something in before we get into the podcast? Because I did.
You prepared some remarks?
No. Noelle showed me, because I don't have a Discord account anymore, and I just wanted to read this out loud. It was so good.
Oh, no.
From I Levitate. Hi there, new watcher of the show here. A little confused on what's going on. Absolutely phenomenal guests, but maybe I'm missing the goal of the show. I got through about 17 minutes of the Eliza and Andre, I don't know who Andre is, episode. I'm confused by what you're watching. Is there an Andre? Did I miss something with Andre on Eliza?
I don't think there's an Andre.
They're using his name from the league. Like,
this guy's deep. I got through about 17 minutes of the Eliza Paul Scherr episode, but was confused with the egg sandwich into having the guests butcher their own sushi rolls, and then the finale of that disaster of a salad for them to self-serve. Swapped over to the Kroll Mulaney episode, insanely talented guests, and was once again baffled with the abnormally low quality of the food. That raw vegetable spread sprayed with MSG with ranch dipping sauce, and then fried Jimmy Dean sausage, all caps, !! I'm only exposed to Big Dave through the two experiences above, but he jokes about working as a water boy at one restaurant for 2 weeks and then getting fired from making noodles after 3 weeks. Is he a troll chef, or is he just trolling? Or what's going on here? No, I'm just trolling.
Wait. The most remarkable part about this is your first experience with Dave Chang. How did you find your way to the Majordomo Media Discord?
I believe that this person, Avitate, is a good friend of ours.
Of course. And it's like, this is insane, right? This is such
I think
joke.
This is, you know, Lee.
This is some high-level trolling here. Hello, just stumbled into the Dinner Time Live channel on the Majordomo Media Discord channel. Who's this Dave Chang guy? That's insane. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, listen, there are people that hate democracy. There are people that hate puppies. There are people that would like to kick an old person down the stairs.
Oh.
So I don't expect, you know, consensus on this show.
Sure. But still, that is like that. I'm like, that's a troll. That's somebody who's begging for a reaction.
They got it.
But it's just like that kind of close-minded, like food has to be this to be good is so insanely ridiculous.
I wonder who, let's just say who, before we get on to the episode, let's just play a game. Who do you think it was in the in our culinary chef world that wrote this?
Like, it's a friend of ours for sure.
If it was Red Zeppi, it'd be a voice memo.
We were
inside joke.
It would be a very long voice memo. He wouldn't have delivered it this way.
People think that he's a talented chef, one of the world's greatest, but he's more talented at voice memos. That dude is so, I don't know how he does it.
He sure does leave a long, relaxed voice memo. We can rule out Red Zeppi because we know his primary form of communication is voice memos. Who else would be trolling us in this specific way?
I mean, I think like this could be like a Kimmel prank or Bill Simmons prank.
Yeah.
A Victoria prank.
For sure. For sure it's somebody closer to us than we think getting in there complaining about.
I mean, it could be Joe Magnanello. Magnanello.
Big Dave, also. Very presumptuous just to go with Big Dave. This is that belies somebody who definitely knows you.
I wonder. It's got to be somebody close to us because it's too good of a troll.
Yeah. I think it might be Noelle blowing off some steam.
Ooh.
I think it might be Noelle. She sent it to you too, right?
She did.
Oh, she is playing with fire here.
She did. It also could be Chris Chan, right? All right. Did we lose everybody? Let's get on to the show.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. Thank you, Yola Tango, as always. We got three things, a how to menu and a culinary arbitrage. And we're joined with Chris Yang, who is typing away on his phone, not really paying attention to anything.
Oh, sorry.
So maybe we should Bob Sugar his ass.
What's happening over here?
Yeah.
Oh, are we recording? I was bringing up the run sheet.
So we were just recording something for Momofuku Goods. We're doing the two Korean barbecue sauces. And we had two steaks, and there was somebody that was preparing the close-up of the food, food stylist. We've never had a food stylist before. I mean, we have, but anti-food styling.
Sure.
Right? I mean, clearly, I Levitate knows this. So we're cooking in the back studio. We usually don't cook in the back. Chris cooks in the back studio when I talk about Major Domo Media Studio with two kitchens. I usually cook up front. Chris usually hangs out in the back. And I'm not used to the BTU output on the current oven. It's a good oven. It's a great oven, LG. But the one closest to me on the cutting board is the lowest level one. So I was not able to cook my steaks at the level that I'd like. I had to cook one ribeye. And then I forgot to turn on the oven. I set it at like 475. So I'm cooking a steak. So it's like three, 4 minutes on one side, flip it over, cook it another 3-4 minutes in the oven, let it rest. You're good to go. Well, I put it in the oven and I realized, I don't think this is at 450, 475. Putting my arm in. Okay.
What is it?
I literally put my arm in there.
It felt more like what?
275.
Okay.
Right? Like I was going to reverse sear this fucker. Anyway, the clock is ticking. We got to get going. And I'm like, you know what? I can just see the criticism right now. Everyone is going to, it looks fine. it's going to look delicious. Mm-hmm. I cut it. I don't know how long the steak is cooking. I have no idea. Now it's not even the force. I'm like, I've lost total track of time. I have no idea what temperature it is. It's quite frankly steaming a little bit, but I'm like, God damn it. This is like real home cooking, I guess. And I need to let it rest, but I'm now concerned that if I let it rest, I'm touching the meat and I'm like, it's definitely over. It's definitely over. It definitely feels like medium-ish. Mm-hmm. And I realize if I continue to let it rest, then it's going to continue to cook.
So I had a conundrum.
I had to slice it immediately and then use all my mental powers to try to go back into time like Doctor Strange and have the steak, like, you know, 8 degrees cooler. And, you know, it was a nice medium steak. And there was not another one to cook.
Oh, man.
So I'm really mad at myself, but it's technical error.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like, you bring up the idea of you're usually in kitchen one, and today you were cooking in kitchen two. Like, how much harder is it generally adapting to like an away kitchen or a new space?
It would not be a problem if the person in front of me was better organized. No, it wasn't that. It was my fault. Ultimately, this is the shit that happens. Oh, you gotta, this happens all the time. It does not happen that much in a professional kitchen. Mm. But like, oh, I put the steak, I put a screaming hot pan in, expecting the oven to be screaming hot as well. And it's like a sauna temperature. And I'm like, ooh.
There's like really nothing to be done at that stage.
No.
Because the steak was already in the pan. It was already seared on one side. Mm. It's got to go. Mm-hmm. And so you just were like, well, I hope it turns out.
Yeah. And I could have finished the whole thing up top, but I was pot committed at that point. I was pot committed.
Excited about those sauces, though.
They are very good. They're very, very good. But anyway, just get that off my chest. It's like, it's the old oven's off trick.
Yeah. It's happened to me. Do you always take the time to preheat your oven fully? Are you like,
Of course. Yeah. I tried to. I just had a lot of flashbacks as you're like working the line, and nothing is worse than when your oven doesn't work, your mm-hmm. flat top doesn't work, or there's a burner that doesn't ignite. Mm-hmm. And all of these little things are extremely irritating and can throw off an entire service. So, you know, it is what it is. And I can just imagine if there was young 23-year-old Dave Chang watching this older person that barely cooks making the steak, I'd be like, I knew he was a fucking hack.
Maybe I Levitate is you traveling from the past into the future, commenting on your own cooking today.
What a loser. What a fucking loser. Anyway, the three things. I tried to bridge this to the idea of seasoning, because I think the only thing I did well was season the steak. These are three tips for me about seasoning. Number one, when you look at a professional cook seasoning, especially someone that's working the fish or meat stations, right? Usually they'll have, in a professional setup, they'll have a wire rack with a sheet tray or something to collect all the salt. But they're like, going like this.
They're seasoning from, they're like doing an overhand season, basically.
It's basically Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook.
Right. And to the untrained eye, that is just flashy showmanship. That is not anything beyond
Unfortunately,
that.
It's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a skyhook.
Right. Because if you try to season the meat from 1 inch above it, you're going to season the 1 inch of area of steak.
You want to get coverage, right? And more importantly, kosher salt definitely works better. I really dislike working at kitchens, namely French kitchens, that only used fine sea salt. What a pain in the fucking ass. Pain in the ass to season with just super fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think kosher is just way easier. And then I remember having arguments, well, because it's more difficult, it's better. I was like, no. Anyway, you want that surface area. And you want to season it pretty liberally. right? At least with salt. Two, there's always a question of like, when do you season?
Yeah.
Right? I'm not someone that likes to season ultimately too much in advance because I lose track. I don't know which one's seasoned, which one's not. Also, like, I don't want it to extract all the water, but if you do season it well in advance enough, it's like the salt almost creates a crust.
Mm.
But like,
talking about steaks specifically?
Yeah, steaks.
Okay. Because a big hunk of meat, you're going to do what? 2 days in advance, 3 days in advance or something?
Yeah. Maybe? But like, if it's just, say, like a 20-ounce, 18-ounce steak, I'm not inclined to season it too far in advance because I don't know exactly when that crust is going to form or when I'm going to get to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, too, like, I don't want it to be maybe too salty to penetrate. So I find that it's negligible if I season it right beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that choose not to season a steak and then cook it. That is just not, they'll season it after. I'm like, what are you doing? And they'll give me some scientific reason about the blah, 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 blah. But again, it's not enough. To salt a piece of meat after it's cooked does not have the same flavor whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I can't remember the scientific reasoning. Dawn on me, I've forgotten like everything I've ever learned about the science of food. What a surprise. So to me, it's like, when do you salt? So like, I'll just salt right beforehand. The other thing is, I've been doing much less, and it depends also, like today, the steak. I don't season with pepper. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes you're cooking at temperatures where the pepper will burn.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves that very carcinogenic-like taste. So I'll add pepper after the fact. And also, I just think pepper's added to too much things. It's the greatest spice of all time. It's the goat. But I don't think it needs to be added to legitimately everything all the time beforehand. I like to add pepper on barbecue or slower roast because it's not going to singe. But on a higher pan roasting, I'm not the biggest fan of putting pepper. So those I'm sure there's more salting seasoning tips. I do think a marinade, if you're going to marinate it, anything. So like at least 2-3 hours. If I'm going to season a steak like I did today, like I made like a beef and broccoli or something like, or anything that has a sugar marinade, they're really built best for grilling or under a broiler. But if you have a marinade and a fresh piece of meat, I'll saute the meat and then 3/4 of the cooking, like almost, there's like 1/4 of it left that needs to be cooked. Then I'll add the sauce or marinade. Like if I'm making bulgogi or like some kind of gochujang-based sauce for pork or chicken, like dak galbi or something like that, because I want that to be seasoned. And that's another important note. Like I'm barely seasoned. I'm still going to season, let's just say, the chicken boneless chicken thighs with a little bit of salt or savory salt, but not too much. I just want enough to create some layer of salt. And then I'll add the sauce that is intended to cook and to help caramelize because it's got sugar in it. And I'm only adding that at the end because I'm trying to time the caramelization of the sauce to the caramelization of the meat and the proper cooking time. So if you add it too early, you're going to burn it and you're going to destroy your pan. So any sauce that has a lot of sugar, I always add it at the end as a stir fry. The other seasoning tip I think is, even if you have a very aggressively seasoned salad dressing, you almost always want to taste and then to a little bit of salt. You'd be surprised, it goes a long way on a salad.
Mm-hmm. That was like when I first worked garde manger, that was the first thing I had never seen before. Like in a professional kitchen, you season your salad itself. The greens get salt in addition to the dressing. And it makes a big difference. Even if, like you said, to your point, even if the dressing is salty and perfectly seasoned, like you still season the salad.
And seasoning with salt has a big, it plays a big deal in temperature, right?
How so?
So if you're making a pate or charcuterie, right? And a lot of times you're actually formulating it and creating it when it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
You are now going to, you have to remember you're serving it cold. Right. And I have found that if you're serving food cold, the salt level is lower, you need to be a little bit more aggressive with it because it's just not.
You perceive salt less on a cold item than on a hot item.
Correct.
Yeah.
When something is room temp, it's just more alive. Yeah. I mean, actually it is, you know, it's just more alive. There's just more shit going on and it just transfers flavor and taste better. So that's another thing when you're salting something is knowing that, okay, when and how is it actually going to be served? The other thing that happens, which is why a lot of restaurants serve over-seasoned food, people lose track of how many times something got salted, right? So you're bringing food to the pass, right? The pass being the table where the food is being plated and garnished by this chef or whatever. It's very easy, right? Because a lot of times it's like surgery. You might have 10 fucking hands on the table and like somebody might forget like, oh, that person already put Florida Cell on or Selgri or whatever, Malden. And then all it takes is another pass and you're like, oh shit, you forget which one you added. Did I already? And like, if you add too much finishing salt, you can totally fuck up the dish. And all of these things can happen, even in the best of kitchens. So.
Well, to that point, I remember, I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast, but I remember being at one of the restaurants with you one time and you tasted a dish and you thought it was too salty and you went back to the kitchen to play CSI, to be like, something changed in the process of this dish from prep to service where an extra step of seasoning was added where it hadn't been before. And it was, and like, that was exactly what had happened. Where it was like, oh, usually we don't salt this meat before we put it into this marinade, but today somebody did. And like exactly your point.
I can't really remember that. I just had to recall that. It was CSI. And then we were able to locate pretty quickly in the standard operating procedure that somebody had changed something in terms of salting whatever it was. Let's just say it was a pate again. I think it was some kind of meat that we were curing. And it was double cured, more or less.
Yeah.
And you know, like, especially when you have things like that where you believe it to be standardized, and you're tasting something, and it's like a song a band plays all the time. You don't even question it because you do it so much. Mm-hmm. Those are oftentimes the dishes that get super fucked because you have now, you know, you assume that it's made proper all the time because you've done it like thousands of times. But these little deviations, and that's why you almost have to find ways to taste it along the way, especially if you're going to do like charcuterie, right? You just don't know how it tastes because it's not something you're not allowed to taste it, right? It's very hard to taste along the way. So I've always thought that idea of when you make something, knowing that it's going to taste different when it's actually served, and I always have a problem with finishing salts, right? I think that, I'm going to say this, most restaurants, including me, we're all guilty of putting too much finishing salt on a dish. Because if you think about it, you rarely taste the dish with finishing salt.
Finished it.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it never happens. And, you know,
you taste it before, and then you put some finishing salt on it, and then
it needs more salt.
And then off it goes.
And that's why it's like, I prefer, you know, Selgri or like Florida Cell, simply because the kernels are so much bigger that, you know, you can see it. And Malden, which is probably the salt of choice here, at least in America for finishing, it dissolves so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to see because it's so flaky, like thin. So again, these are the little nuances, but when you start to add them all together, you know, even the best restaurants make mistakes sometimes as in being too salty. So the timing of salt matters quite a bit because you just don't know. The last thing I'll say about salt is you got to know, especially when making salads, going back to salads, like when is it going out?
Yeah.
You want to season your salads, your lettuces at the last possible second. You want to be very, very careful in mixing it. But also this is why restaurant work is so difficult because you might have seasoned that salt, that lettuce perfect. But by the time it gets to the pass, by the time it gets picked up, by the time a server runs upstairs, by the time it gets to the table, it may look like shit.
It'd be sludge by then.
Right. It's not going to be sludge, but it starts to wilt. That's just what happens. And these are the issues with seasoning. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go. Let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, what do we got here, you know?
All right, guys, we've got a how to menu. Round one is a bachelor party. So welcome to How to Menu, the segment where we take a scenario in a restaurant and try to formulate a menu. Chris and Dave will have time to explain their ordering strategies and stump for the merits of their approach over their opponent. The winner will be chosen by the production team. So our first one is How to Menu doubles as an Ask Dave. Dave, one of our beloved Discord moderators at Bad Lemur, is having a bachelor party in May. He's asking us to put together a bachelor party dinner for six at Town Hearth in Dallas, Texas. Just want to take a moment to thank our moderators, Peacock and Badly, for keeping our Discord community clean. The irony of this comment is not lost on me after what happened on the Discord. But before we begin this game, do you guys have any like rules for bachelor or bachelorette party dinners or anything like that? Are there any fouls that you really definitely should avoid? Or
well, just like I've never been invited to a potluck, I've never been invited to a bachelor party, so I wouldn't know. That's not true.
You've been invited to bachelor parties, but I will say this.
I don't attend that antiquated notion of celebration.
He only attends stag and hen parties. he's a Brit. I will say this though. I remember when I had my bachelor party, I genuinely didn't know whether Dave and I were close enough friends to invite Dave to my bachelor party. Nor did I also thought like, oh, Dave's too, you know, like, he's too big.
This is why I never get invited to a
bachelor party. This was like the first real low moment of our relationship. And I said to him, like, oh, I'm having a bachelor party. And he lit up. Dave lit up and was like, when is it? Like, where are we going? And I was like, oh, it's like tomorrow. I'm going to South Carolina. And he was mad at me for days. And I was like, I didn't know we were that close yet. This is more than a decade
ago. Let's go out to lunch tomorrow.
But I'm still just...
Funny, guys. I asked Dave to come to my bachelor party. He gave me a no within literally...
Oh, well, that's to be expected. Yeah. Well, I mean, you asked too soon.
did you see the fucking whack pack he hangs out with? Come on, man. I don't want to be on Howard Stern like that.
Get me over there. Bachelorette party comes into a restaurant. Are you, as a restaurateur chef, happy?
Las Vegas restaurateur Dave. I love it! Come on, come all! Oh, you want a walk-in table of 34? You got it.
No problem.
You got dicks all over your face? And like...
Yeah, we're not a restaurant. You know, we're an adult Chuck E. Cheese.
I mean, there's so much phallic stuff that happens on bachelorette parties. Oh. What is the deal?
Is it a... I mean...
It's hard. It's hard for a server to take an order seriously when you have an erect penis coming out of your fucking head. Out of your
pink cowboy hat with a big dick coming out of it. Yeah, it's hard. It's
why is Yuno shaking his head? This is real.
Just for the record, I had my bachelor party at Major Domo in Vegas.
And he had a big dick coming out of his head.
And there were no penises involved. There were no peni involved.
We're talking about bachelorette parties.
Yeah, bachelorette parties. Is it okay? So the spectacle aside, is a bachelorette party usually a decent check?
No,
bad, right? For a party of that
it's
size.
It's good at party. It's good at places that are, let's just say like a club strant.
Yeah, where it's just where it's bottles like, hey, and bottles.
You know, you're getting, you know, you got some tartare and some like a bunch of spicy tuna rolls.
Yeah.
And you got, you know.
And seven bottles of Grey Goose. And
no, not yet. But, you know, you eat just enough food to like get your table at the club. So now everyone's there and you're like, all right, let's move everybody over. And that's when you get your, you know, but a lot of those restaurants turn into clubs themselves where people can dance on them. There's a restaurant in the Cosmopolitan where people dance on the table. They serve a lot of meat.
Yeah.
I can't have that. I wish I could have that atmosphere. But I don't know how to tell people to start to do that.
You're like, I wish that people would start dancing on the tables at Mofuku. Do not put that out into the universe. Like, you don't want that.
No, I don't want that. But there's a festive spirit that happens in certain restaurants where you can just go like, you know, YOLO.
Yeah.
Don't YOLO at fucking Momofuku though. But like a bachelor party, they're there. They're good business. People spent, it's mostly drinking. If it's a table that's just like, they just order an ungodly amount of food, which happens sometimes, it's like, you guys are fucked. Because there's no way. Like, it's a classic over-order.
Yeah. Yeah. They're instead of drinks, it's the food.
But the other thing is there are some tables where they order a lot of stuff and they don't eat anything at all.
They don't touch it. Yeah.
Because they're very, very wiry.
For some reason, they seem to be very on edge. They have a very anxious energy.
They're having a lot of good conversations in the bathroom. No, but bachelor parties, for the most part, it's pretty tranquilo. But yeah, it's about partying. It's about drinking a lot. But there are definitely people that come to our restaurants that just are there to have a good time without dancing on the tables.
In general.
But let me tell you what to do. Just,
yeah.
You come to a bachelor party to any restaurant that, you know, I'm associated with or like my friends are associated with. This is what you do. You go to Burgundy section, white wine, and you start ordering verticals. Right? Yeah, you ain't paying. Your boys, your girls or your boys are paying for this. And you just start going like, you do a pretty woman move. You start ordering some fucking bottles where all of a sudden a Psalm puts on a taste fin and they're right fucking there.
Yes. Yes. I mean, like.
We are like, whoa.
I applaud that move.
You go strong.
However, this is an interesting. And
then you go, wagyu, wagyu. I'll get that ribeye.
You just shot wagyu into the air.
Let me get that pile of fucking lobsters that's like, you know, whatever.
But this is the
let me get all your Peking duck.
This is the classic problem, especially for one of those large bachelor or bachelorette parties, like your table of 34 walk-in, is generally speaking, the bachelor party is happening in people's, you know, 20s, early 30s, whatever.
Why are you being ageist?
I'm just saying generally, am I wrong? Like, that's true, right?
Have you seen the fucking aged bachelor one? You can find love later in life.
Of course you can't. I'm not saying you can't find love at a later age.
Yeah. Geriatric bachelor.
You called it the age. The age.
Golden bachelor. Motherfucker.
Dave calls me a racist and then he says the show is called The Wrinkled Bachelor. I'm just saying, don't you... Just try to go back to this time in life, though. In your 20s and 30s, this is when, like, your group of friends, I think there's, like, a lot of disparity in people's paychecks, right? And so, inevitably, yeah, you walk in, and it's always, like, you've got your one friend, your best man, who, like, makes a bunch of money. They're a banker in New York, and they're going to order the vertical of Ravano. Then you've got your other two friends who are just muttering in the corner, just being like, fuck, I knew I shouldn't have come to this goddamn bachelor party. I can't afford this shit. Like,
that's why you have two bachelor parties. One that's the mixture cuvee of your friends, and one where it's just the banker dickhead.
It's the banker dickhead bachelor party.
That's the move.
These are my best and richest friends.
It's like, I don't really like you guys, but you're going to pay for everything.
Now, do you think, before we should get into this thing, but do you think, and this is pertinent to this what is how to menu? What is this? So do you think that this is going to be a bachelor party where Bad Lemur lives near this restaurant, is just like out for the night with their boys and is having a party and having dinner and then is going to go home?
Well, that's the thing is like, we got to know a little bit more about the proclivities.
If this is dinner and then going home, that's very different than like, hey, we flew in, we're spending the weekend.
We don't even know if they live in Dallas.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe, do they fly into Dallas?
Yeah, if they flew into Dallas, that's totally different.
I mean, listen, are they flying into Dallas for the Mike Tyson, Logan Paul Netflix?
Live?
That's in July.
Fight spectacular? Like, if that's the case, then it's a very different story than just...
Do you think the Netflix algorithm heard us plug?
The Netflix algorithm hears everything. But, I mean, that's a huge... Like, you know, give us some more insight, or at least give us an assumption here. Because if Bad Lemur and his five friends are going to just have dinner and then go back to their respective significant others at home, that's a totally different party than we flew in for the Mike Tyson fight and we're blowing out the weekend.
I think we should just tell them what to do.
Well, don't go home.
Yeah, don't go home.
How many people? Six?
Six people.
All right.
So, and this restaurant is in, it's like a steakhouse. Give us the rundown on this restaurant, you know.
All right, so this is a steakhouse in Dallas. They've got some really interesting names on the menu. Swank space with raw bar, steaks, and classic cocktails from Dallas chef Nick Badavinas.
Okay. I'm looking at this menu. Prime steaks, table scripted du jour. I don't know what that is. Bunch of appetizers, shrimp cocktail, rock shrimp dynamite from the Nobu menu. Steak tartare, bunch of sides, little Wagyu tasting, some fish and seafood, and Maine lobster. Oh, this guy is known in Dallas for doing like motorcycles and meat, right? That's what this is all about. There is a motorcycle for sale at the bottom of this menu, I noticed. A 74 Ducati Sport. So I think the move is to buy that motorcycle and just leave the restaurant and just... And do we have a price limit or we're just scripting a bachelor party?
Well, I have my order. And it's pretty much the right move. I'm not even looking at anything else. I mean, here's the deal. You have a bachelor party. If I was Bad Lemur or Peacock and this is my bachelor party and there's six of us, and actually not you guys, but the supposed people that are attending, I don't know them, but I'm just imagining that they're there, they're sitting down and they're like, yeah, could I get a French onion soup? Fuck you. Get the fuck out. You want to order a what?
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What are you talking about? Why are you getting French onion soup, right? What are you talking about?
Why do you want to? Do you want to sit at another table? Are you a person that orders Chinese food with your friends, and everyone gets their own order of fried rice?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
that's not gonna happen.
No, that's out. So, like. Part of that is just assuming that there's no dumb shit that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, no one's ordering. Like, I'm not as great as the meatballs are. I'm like, you're not ordering meatballs.
Right. And right off the bat, you're not going to allow, this is not going to be an individual steak situation.
No.
Right?
Absolutely not. It's, so you want tartare, you want things that are, you can share tartare. Mm-hmm. And for sure, off the appetizer, I'm going tartare, Nobu, shrimp dynamite. Like, three orders of that. Three orders.
Yeah, that's maybe all I'm pulling off of here, too.
Three orders and two orders of steak tartare. And then I'm not going with anything else other than two dozen oysters. That's what we're starting with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to order French onion soup, you can leave too and go to another table. Because it's a steakhouse, right? This is a real decision here. And you got to take a look at the other tables. Because the classic move at a steakhouse is you get a slab of bacon. But there's evolution. There is something that has changed over 25 years at a steakhouse. Now, you have to get the wedge salad, the iceberg chopped. And a lot of these places now have basically the slab bacon on the wedge salad. So you don't have to commit to a slab bacon.
Right.
And if you plan it right and you order right and you've done your homework, you will be rewarded by getting iceberg with a lot of bacon. So that's why I would look at another table and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the bacon situation on the salad?
Yeah.
And that's going to determine whether you need to order bacon
correct.
Or not.
Because you can't, this is one thing you can't share. You can't share slab bacon.
Yeah.
It's just not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's my one choose your own adventure. We got to get some more data. All right. We're not ordering any seafood. We're going, no, it's just straight out. We're not getting
any hot seafood. You have oysters, but no hot seafood.
We're not getting bisteca. You know why? None of my friends are going to eat a tenderloin. This is not happening. Okay. Stop. It's out. We're getting three ribeyes.
Yeah.
Three ribeyes. We're getting three Roge's battle axes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Longbow for $450. All right. That is 96 ounces of meat, probably 70 ounces when you remove the fat and the bone. That's plenty, plenty of meat for my best friends.
It's a lot of meat, yes. $450 with a steak.
You might ask yourself, well, Dave, like, you know, the reason why I'm pro French onion soup is that I'm able to eat something between the long cook time on the meat. Ah, wrong. All right. We got tartare, we got oysters, we got shrimp cocktail. You got to get shrimp cocktail, right? Maybe we're getting the Nobu shrimp. Maybe we're getting bacon. Maybe we're going to sound fine. That's like the first hour of eating. You're getting your cocktails. Mm-hmm. You're catching up on stories. Should you go to your high school reunion or not? Whatever. All these fucking things, right?
Are you sure about this? She's really not that nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't know that. You guys were actually, this is an intervention, not a bachelor party.
Her? Right?
Yeah. Her? Okay. So now we're here. So you got an hour. Then, so you probably going to take like 30 minutes to an hour for the main courses to cook. So there's a little bit of lag time, especially if it's a busy restaurant that I assume this is Town Hearth. This is the pro move, folks. Pro move. And how many people are dining? Six total?
Six total.
You go, garçon, can I get three cheeseburgers, please? As my mid-course.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. I did not see that move coming at all. I didn't see that move coming at all.
That's it. That's all you need to do and you're done. That's and then you can order all the potatoes, the fries, the whipped potatoes, cream spinach. That's it.
Yeah.
No mac, none of that shit. You're just getting the potatoes, two potatoes, and cream spinach.
Cheeseburger move is inspired. That's truly an inspired move right there.
If there's one person in my group that requests sliced tomato and arugula, they're out. You're always being judged. Always being judged. Okay? You're out.
So over the course of this bachelor party dinner, you're just ejecting people from the table. Somebody's already been kicked off the island for ordering French onion soup. Now we've got a tomato salad orderer who's been booted off the table.
And this is I'm going to give you another example. So maybe somebody can't eat meat and they're shellfish. Fine. That might be my diet soon. Right. They go, you know what? Can I order the barbecue spice sea scallops? And you're like, great, go for it. Sure. Which comes with elote style corn, guajillo oil, dressed with arugula. Mm-hmm. But then this is when you're like, I don't know if I can be friends with this person. They're like, oh, could I get a side of the elote style corn? Dude.
You mean if the scallop orders more corn?
They don't even put two and two together.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It happens. You're like, whoa.
That's a sociopath. Whoa. Yeah. You didn't even look at your own dish.
It literally says you're getting the side that you're ordering. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You cannot be a friend of mine.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? What do you do if you're attending this bachelor party? You're not, who is this? You're not, who are bad lemur. You're bad lemur's fifth closest friends, and you're at this dinner. You don't know anybody else here. You're not. You don't get to control your own fate, and the individual ordering begins. What do you do as you're as the sixth man on this team?
Everyone's ordering for themselves.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You just leave.
Listen, you gotta have a quarterback to call the fucking plays. Not everyone on a team can be the quarterback. I'm sorry. And just because it's your fucking wedding and your bachelor party doesn't assume that you're the fucking quarterback. All right. There's no way. Not everyone can be the QB.
It's true.
Just like not everyone can be the middle person in a dinner party.
Punter's got to get married too.
I'm just saying, like, know your fucking roles, do your job, and delegate to the person that's a professional orderer.
No.
Which is fucking me.
Now let's zoom out for
a while. If aliens came to this world and they were like, listen,
we need one delegate.
We need one delegate to order professionally. And that's how we're going to determine if you get faster than light speed. Like, I would be upset if my name wasn't on that short list.
Like, that's got to be me.
I mean, like, are you kidding me, Biden? Fuck.
Right.
I have the best shot you got. Okay. No, I can't do anything else, but I can do this.
I can order for you. Okay. So as the professional order, though, I have to ask you this because we've talked about.
Can I put that on my resume now? Professional food orderer.
Of course. Yeah. Certified professional.
National merit of honor.
So. Here's the only question. We've talked about...
You guys can all tell that I've had a lot of caffeine right now.
He is high energy. We've talked about you're out to dinner with your wife. You're on a date, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is. The point of ordering in that scenario is to like maintain the possibility of physical activity later. So you're going to order accordingly. Light but delicious. What is the goal... At a bachelor party.
In Dallas. Eat till I'm unhappy.
Eat till you're unhappy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just put me to sleep. Let's go. Put me to fucking sleep. Let's go.
What's the drink of choice of this? It's just wine?
I don't know. Honestly, I bet you it's mostly vodka sodas.
It's vodka sodas, right? Vodka sodas. This is the banker dinner. This is the banker bachelor party.
I think it's vodka sodas. It's not just here. It's every restaurant. It's vodka sodas. Everywhere.
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 That's the official drink of the bachelor party?
Yeah, it's like an STD that's spreading everywhere.
Poor Osos. Okay. I think it was a pretty good job. I'm not going to argue with any of that. I can't compete with the fucking mid-course three cheeseburgers. Good God.
Listen, it's a good order.
Good God, I can't fight that one.
Right?
Very strong ordering.
If anything, I might dial back one ribeye.
But you would not integrate, you would not introduce any other cut.
Fuck no. Manchester cut out. Brick. Bone and strip fucking out.
I was looking at this prime rib thing, which is basically the same cut.
Nope. Cut the boeuf. Nope. Long bone.
I mean, you can't be at a bachelor party and not order the long bone or a bachelorette party, I suppose.
I think that's the 2024 appropriate way of saying what was formerly known as tomahawk.
That is what that is, right? That's what the long bone ribeye is. Oh my God. What do you think, How do you do? Victoria? Give him a grade. Oh, give you a thumbs down, but that's why we're taking him to lunch. Thank you, Victoria.
What do you expect he's going to give us on glass door? All right.
Because you're doing burgers middle, and then Dave, you got like shrimp and oysters, like all this stuff going on. So yeah, I'm like, this is really eat till you're unhappy, but you still might have overordered.
Who the fuck are you to judge my fucking ordering? I remember my first beer. Jesus Christ. These fucking Gen Zen. What are they? Alpha? Is he Gen Alpha, this fucking guy?
I think he would only be Gen Alpha if he was under the age of 4. I think he would be a Gen Alpha. I think our kids are Gen Alpha. I think it was a spectacular job, and I can't wait to be invited.
This French onion soup motherfucker over there.
Just ordering a French onion soup is such an insane move. What do you, like, somebody, inevitably, that's the problem at a party like this. What would happen is you would take control. You would do the ordering. You would slide at the very end with, oh, by the way, can we do three cheeseburgers as a mid-course? the enlightened members of the table would be applauding you, and then the one person would be like, could I get a French onion soup? Yeah.
Could I get the elote corn? On the side?
Extra elote style.
Let's take a break. All right. What do we got?
All right. It's time for culinary arbitrage or price fixing. In this game, Dave and Chris will guess the prices of various menu items from fine restaurants around the world. The contestant who gets closest to the actual price wins the round. All right. So we have our restaurants here. We're going to Nashville, Tennessee, to Hawthorne, a casual fine dining restaurant and bar in West Nashville's Sylvan Park neighborhood.
Casual fine dining restaurant. Okay. In Nashville. Just doing the currency exchange in my head. Okay.
Okay. Let's start with the crispy sweet potato pavé, coconut cream, lime compressed cabbage, finger lime.
Well, finger lime is not cheap to get.
What section of the menu does this fall under?
Sweet potato pavé? It sounds like a dessert almost.
It's like an appetizer, actually.
Oh.
Whoa. Okay.
Good old pavé.
An appetizer, a casual fine dining appetizer. I don't know anything about this.
$14.
I'm going to go $19.
You take, it's on the nose. Holy shit.
Finger limes. That entire dish cost is finger limes.
Okay. So our next one is a what they call larger plates. A Black Hawk steak. Bavette miso butter. Brown butter roasted celeriac. Toasted celery seed. Celery leaf oil.
Pattern recognition.
Wait, what was the meat? Sorry. It's a bavette. The larger plate. Is there a bigger size than larger on this menu? That's it. Okay.
Does it say ounces? Bouvet is not usually that big.
It's pretty small, right? I'm going to go with 38.
I'm going 29.
Oh.
Chris, you got it. It's 44. So Chris is off by 6, so he went that way.
Son of a...
44 is a lot for a bavette, I'm going to say. What's the, is it, where does that rank in the priciest menus, priciest items? It's the most expensive item on the menu. Okay.
Okay.
Bring in Hawthorne.
All right. Brioche donuts. So we're going to dessert and just a seasonal accompaniment, but brioche donuts.
$9. $9.
Seasonal accompaniment. And there's no indication what that is.
No.
Okay, it could just be some like orange and brown leaves. Okay. I'm going to go $11.
It's a tie, guys.
It's $10. Fuck.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. We got another one. We can't tie on the Hawthorne.
All right. So you guys want to finish out this Hawthorne one?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. We got to break the tie.
All right, here we go. Frites, herb, salt. Seasonal.
Did you say feet?
So fries, basically. Smaller plates. Fries.
Side dish?
Yeah, it's a smaller plate.
Smaller plate.
Eight.
Oh, cock block me.
I know, it's right in that zone, man. Mm. It's right there.
Nine.
Chris, you got it. It's 7.
Oh shit! Yes, I was like, I felt like we were curling, and I put a big ass fucking stone right in the middle.
And what happened is, people that don't give a shit about curling are now watching it on their social media feed because we were like, "Whoa, that was good." All right. Moving on. Fine.
All right. Move on to the next restaurant. Morangak in Garden Grove, California. All right, this is a Korean restaurant. My favorite Korean restaurant, for what it's worth. So this dish, Mulningmyeon, started off.
21. 21.
17.
Chris, you got it again. 1650. What
the fuck is this place?
It's in Garden Grove. All right. So, Imyeonsu, which is pan-fried aka mackerel. It's like an actual entree.
21.
24.
Chris, you got it again. 1895.
This place is cheap.
You guys need to check it out. all right, let's bring it home. The boneless short rib, cream barbecue.
$38. Take that, motherfucker.
Shit, that's the fucking, that's the stone in the middle. I want it. I gotta go higher or lower. 39.
Chris, I think you win this restaurant. It's $42.95. Oh, man.
Oh, so good. Garden Grove's got so much good Korean food. The fuck says that shit?
He's mad at Garden Grove. Now he's mad at Garden Grove. Go, Chris.
There's any way to guarantee you would never go to that restaurant now.
I mean, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. Or I think Chris has two, so.
Make this quadruple or nothing.
Oh, let's make it quadruple or nothing. Okay. If this wins the whole thing. And it's going to Chris's home court.
How do you pronounce? Let's do a pronunciation beyond this.
On this restaurant? Well, everyone calls this Kokari. The second word I'm having trouble with. Kokari Estiatorio.
Kokari Estiatorio.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Estiatorio.
I think that's right.
I'm looking it up. I don't think this is actually right.
All right, moving on.
All right, Chris is in your home court, San Francisco.
Yeah, I've been to Kokari one time many years ago. This is where our friend Chris Chen takes all the NBA execs every year that the NBA playoffs are in San Francisco.
Let's start off with the Saganaki. Pan-fried, I don't know how to pronounce it. Kefalotiri.
All right, Saganaki. Park Place.
What is
boardwalk price? $24.
What is Saganaki? It's a melted cheese. $24, you said? Mm-hmm. Oh shit. You might have this fucking zeroed in. I'm not gonna go super close to you. I'm gonna space it out here. I'm gonna say 16.
Chris, you got it. It's $18.75.
I mean, this ain't boardwalk prices. This is like Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah, this is more like the Greens. This is more like Pennsylvania area. Yeah.
Of course you're going to buy the railroads.
I'm going to control the utilities.
You have no idea how important this is going to be in Lincoln.
All right. Whole local patrol soul.
28.
Didn't Josh Gaines have this on the menu for $888?
Hand harvested sole.
Petrol diamond sole.
$888. We'll have four of those.
$88. $88.
It's a whole. Did you say a whole sole?
It's a whole local patrol.
Oh, what did I say? 27.
I'm going with 88.
Chris, do you want to amend it? Or are you going to stick with
20? No, I said it's fine.
Chris won again. It was $48.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck San Francisco.
I'm crushing this game.
Oh, so many Warriors fans now.
All right. Last one. Or could be the last one. Arnicio Souvlaki. Spiced lamb skewer grilled with cucumber, tomato salad, tzatziki, and potatoes.
$57. Don't think about it. Just be.
$41.
Dave, it's $51.25.
God damn.
Wow. Could this be a comeback? Mm. Oh my God. All right. Let's do Del Monte's. Grape leaves stuffed with.
Wait, rice. What is the score right now? It's what is it right now?
It's 2-1.
2-1, Dave.
No, it's 2-1 you.
Oh, okay.
It's over.
No, if Dave gets three in a row, he wins the whole thing. So, or he gets two more in a row, he wins the whole thing.
That's how it works, huh?
Just that making these fucking rules as we go. Fine, keep going. Let's go.
Okay. Del Monte's grape leaves stuffed with rice dill and mint.
I gotta say, it's one of my least.
Just said the price.
Just said the price. All right.
It's one of my least favorite. Grape leaves are one of my least favorite things.
I gotta say, it's the thing. It's Turkish delight-like in the sense that I see one, I'm like, that's gonna be good. And then I eat it. I'm just like, this is very sour rice with a leaf.
Not a fan. I respect the game. I'm just not a fan of the game.
I want it to be wonderful, and it's not my favorite thing. What else you got?
Avgo Limono. I believe you guys actually, this was a recipe on Recipe Club.
It's a soup.
It's a soup.
Oh, it's that lemon soup.
Mm-hmm. Traditional egg lemon soup with chicken and rice.
$14. $14.
No, it's going to be $12.50.
Chris, you are the winner. It's $13. Sorry, dude.
This game sucks.
Wait, wait. He said 14, right?
Yeah, but it's
and I said 12.50. Yeah, the 50 cents fucking got it for me. That was amazing.
Whatever. It's much cooler in Oakland. East Bay represent.
Oh, the 50 cents came down to the 50 cents. All right,
anyway, let's take a break. Actually, we're not taking a break. We're out of here.
we're taking the long break. The final
thank you
break.
To our listeners for tuning in. Make sure to tune in to Dinner Time Live, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You better do it or Christian will lose the title of self-proclaimed voice of the internet. Give us 5 stars.